All right, this is lesson 107, and the title of our lesson tonight is God's Word is Our Faith Producer. Now, you know, just before we get going here, I want to ask a couple questions, okay? Why do we study the Word? What is one reason we study the Word? Well, the title tonight tells you a reason, a good reason for studying the Word. God's Word, it turns out, and we'll cover this in the lesson, is the thing God designed to be our faith producer. Now, let me just explain a little bit. First of all, the reason we study the Word, one of the reasons, is we need the Word to produce faith for the things that we need. Now, you remember in God's Word where it says, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. The first time I heard that, maybe for the first few years I heard that, I thought it meant that if we didn't have faith, God was sort of displeased with us in some way. As I've studied this more, I've come to see it a little differently. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but if he's not pleased unless we have faith, it does not necessarily mean he's displeased with us for any one reason. The reason he's not pleased, I think, for meditating on this, is because God's nature, in John 3:16, you can see it very clearly, God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
He gave his only son. Okay? God is a giving God. All right? Now, if you're a giving person, and your nature is far beyond anything that we can imagine as far as the desire to give, if you can give your only son, to come down here and put up with what Jesus put up with. Is it harder for Jesus or harder for the parent to watch their child go through something, usually?
The parent.
It's usually harder for the parent, isn't it? As a matter of fact, when I was saved, that's the revelation I got. When I saw in my front yard, I've shared this with you before, but when I got saved, I had a vision of the cross, and I saw my daughter hanging on that cross with her head hung down and obviously dead. And she was just 7 years old at the time. That's how I saw her. And God spoke to me through that and says, just as you see your daughter on that cross and it makes you very sad, you know, so too, it was hard for me when I sent my son. But I love you so much. I mean, that's how God showed me how much he loved me, okay? That he gave, because I cried like a baby when I saw my daughter hanging there. And God showed me in a way that I'd never seen it before, that how hard it was on God to send his son, but yet how much he must have loved us, okay? So, let me just say this. If God loves us that much, now let me say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because he has so much he wants to give us. And that's the only way he can give it, is by us exercising faith for it. That's just the way it works. And now this is the way God showed it to me in the last couple of weeks. God showed me that I'll never ask you to do anything that I don't already provide the answer for. Listen, I'll say that one more time. God said to me, I'll never ask you to do anything that I don't already provide the answer for. Now, take love for an example. He gave us a command to love one another as Jesus. Now, Jesus, love one another as Jesus gave his life for us, so we should give our lives to one another, okay? The love is the what? It's the one commandment God said. This is my commandment, to love one another, okay? Now, God told us to love one another, but then he did an interesting thing. He says, I want you to love, but here's the love to do it with. Because Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that dwells in our hearts, in our spirits. God gave us a command to love, but basically he was saying, but I know you can't without me putting this love in you, this person who is love in your heart. Now, since you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, you can love. You may have to overcome your flesh, but the love is already in there. So you have the love of God inside you right now, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Karen, you have the love of God in you. Madge, you have the love of God in you. It's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit that's in you. So just as God says it's for us to love one another, he then provides the love that we need. God showed me this week that just as I say, without faith it's impossible to please me because I want to give you so much, so I decided to give you faith. I've provided the means for you to get that faith. And that is His Word. The Word is our faith producer. It's the missing link. God says, I want you to have faith because, you know, Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Okay, faith is required, right? But then God says, I know you can't do that by yourself, so I'm going to provide a means that you can have the faith for whatever you need. Okay, now that's what we're going to study tonight. God is going to provide a way for you to get whatever faith you need, just as He provided a way for you to get the love you need to keep the love commandment. He put it inside you. So too, this book, look at it a little differently. This is your faith producer. Whatever you need faith for comes from this book. Now we're going to get into a little deeper than that. I'd like you to open your book, your Bible, your book, to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start there tonight. Now, just remember the scripture. I've quoted this, but keep this in the mind. The reason we're doing this is because Jesus said, whatever you desire, here's the key, believe that you receive it when you pray. That is, believe that when you pray, it's taken care of. God heard that prayer, and all you need to do after that is thank Him for the answer. And if you'll do that, you shall have it. He didn't say you might, He said you shall. So what is the whole kicker in that whole verse? What is the thing? The shall give sounds pretty good. The praying sounds fine. I can do that. But what's the one thing that is the most difficult part of that verse for most people? To believe that you receive when you pray. See, when you believe, I believe I'm married. No one here is going to be able to convince me that I'm not married. I know it. You know, you could all tell me that I'm not married, but I know that I am. And nothing, no circumstance, nothing could convince me that I'm not married. You need to be just that sure when you pray. You need to be so sure that when you pray that you can believe that you receive. When you pray, when you're going to pray, your feeling shouldn't be like, okay, now, when I get this thing. You should be rejoicing. You should be just as happy at that moment as you're going to be later when you see the manifestation because it's taken care of. Can anybody be that way when they pray? Yes, you can. And I'm going to show you exactly how you can get that way. But the problem is most people, when they pray, aren't ready to pray that kind of a prayer. Because they're hoping when they pray instead of believing they receive when they pray. And there's a big difference. I mean, somebody says, come out, pray with me about this. When you understand what's involved with this, or, oh my gosh, this thing is happening, I'm just going to pray. You should pull back a little sometimes and say, wait a minute, can I believe I receive when I pray? And if you can't, you need to go through what we're going to talk about tonight. Because once you get to this point that you can believe that you receive when you pray, you shall have what it is you prayed for. It won't be once in a while you get your prayers answered. It will be every single time. And you know what? As I go on in my life, I see that more and more happening. I see, and it's so thrilling to see how God always will answer that prayer. The truth is, no one can believe they receive when they pray unless God's will is known first. To know God's will regarding your prayer requires a little preparatory work. In this lesson, we're going to find out exactly what we must do to be able to believe and receive when we pray. Now, let's just look at 1 John 5:14. I think it's kind of revealing. Let's see, who's got that? Steve, you want to read that?
Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of
Him. Oh, that's a revealing verse. We know from Mark 11:24, which we just quoted, that Jesus said, what things soever you desire, you got something you desire? We all have. Therefore, believe you receive that thing when you pray for it, and you shall have it if you believe you receive when you pray. Now, this sheds some more light on this. What Steve said, this can be the confidence that you have when you pray. That if you know you're asking according to His will, you know that He hears you. Did you get that? Anytime you pray a prayer that's in line with God's will, He hears you. That implies that if you don't pray in accordance with His will, He doesn't even hear your prayer. How, then the question becomes, how can we pray according to His will? How can we know what the will of God is in a certain topic or a certain subject that's bothering us in our lives that we need an answer to? The answer is that we have to know what His Word says, God's opinion is about several different items in the Word. Healing, we need to know that. Finances, I mean, these are things that affect all of our lives. Family relationships, this is all covered in the Word. And when you pray according to His Word, His will in His Word, it says He hears your prayer. We're going to go on with this in a second. But first of all, to get Him to hear your prayer, you have to pray in line with His Word. That's why 2 Corinthians 1:20 said, all the promises of God are yes. See? Because you're praying in line with His will. Right? Wouldn't a promise be in line with His will? If He promised something, wouldn't that be His will? If He promises something, that's my will. If I promise you something, that's my will. I want to give that to you. The Bible is filled with promises. It's filled with His will in certain situations for your life. He wants you healed. He wants you prosperous. And His Word tells what you have to do to get there. So if you pray in line with that will, then He hears you because He wants to answer that prayer. So the first key is we must pray in line with His will. But that's not a mystery because His Word is His will. Okay? Now it says if we pray according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, how can we know that He hears us? Because we trust God and we know that we've prayed in line with His will. That's how you know He heard you. Because this is not a big mysterious thing we're talking about here. This is not, they say, rocket science. This is pretty simple. God says, if you ask anything according, He said, this is the confidence that you can have in Me. That if you ask anything according to My will, I promise you I hear you. And if you believe that I've heard you, whatever you've asked, you can know that you have the petition that you've asked of Me. Now that's pretty simple, really. Let me go over one more time. This is the confidence that we can have in our Heavenly Father. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. The way you ask according to His will and get a yes answer is to pray according to one of His promises in the Word. Healing is always His will. We know that from last. Financial blessing is always His will as long as you're a tither and you fulfill the conditions and walk in love. All these things God wants you to have. And if you'll just pray your prayer according to those promises, that's why He says in His Word, all the promises of God are yes. My answer is always yes whenever you pray a promise, something that's already in My Word. See, that's God's safety valve. That keeps Him from hearing a prayer that's stupid or not in line with His Word. Or somebody would stupidly say something like, God, somebody did something nasty to them. God, I just ask, I hope they just cause them to have an automobile accident. Nobody would ever say that probably, but if they would, God would even hear that prayer. Why? Because it's not in accordance with His will. He doesn't even hear it. That's a silly example maybe, but it just shows God's got, He's got, there's some safety around this whole thing. So God won't necessarily answer a prayer that's not according to His will. See, God, what God does is He says, here's what My will is for everybody. This is the Logos. If you'll pray according to the promises in here, My answer is always yes, and I always hear you. Whatever you ask, that's in line with this Word. And if you know that I've heard you, whatever you've asked, that's this will, then you know that you have the petitions that you ask of Him. That's how you pray believe that you receive when you pray. Now, you may have to think about this a little bit more. I'm making it as simple as I can. It's not that difficult. What you do is you pray His promise. You find a promise, you pray that, and you have faith, because faith cometh how? By hearing what the Word has to say about the subject that you want to pray about. That is His will. See? See how it all ties together? How faith works in here? All right, now let's go a little deeper into this. We'll go back to Romans, or Luke chapter 8 now. I'd like you to see how this works together. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now, we already know faith cometh by hearing, don't we? All right. Now, Jesus had a parable here, and I'm not going to read the first part. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell on the wayside, was trodden down, some fell up on a rock, some fell among thorns, and then they didn't know what he meant. And so then they asked him what he meant. And he said, the seed, verse 11, is what, Steve?
The Word.
The Word of God. All right? How does faith come?
By hearing
the Word.
Therefore, if faith comes by hearing the Word, and the Word is a seed, when you hear the Word, it comes as a seed, a word seed. That's how the Word comes. Now, here's something I asked God today. I said, Lord, if your Word is a seed, and faith cometh by hearing the Word, is that the faith right then that we have? Or does that faith, I also says further down here, and we'll get to that, this faith must go in your heart, because three out of four people, this seed did not go in their heart properly. But the last one, it said, it did go in their heart properly. And they brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I said, is this faith seed that comes when the Word is preached the same faith that is the fruit in the heart that grows? And this thought came into my mind. How about when a farmer goes out to sow seed? When you take corn, and I've got some kernels of corn, say, in my hand, is that corn? Well, wait a minute. We don't have to get too mysterious here. If you see some corn, you know, if you see some corn in a pan and Marianne's cooking corn, is that corn?
Yeah, it's corn.
That's corn. When you go out on the field and you see a whole stalk of thing and somebody says, what's that a field of? What will you say?
Corn.
They both got the same name, but there are different points in its life, right? And that's the way God showed me today, and I never saw it this way before. He says, yes, faith comes as a word seed. And it's got potential, but there's nothing there yet. And then I thought, well, you know, Jesus said, if you have faith as a seed, you shall in the future. See, you haven't got it yet. It's just a little seed, but it's so necessary. So faith cometh by hearing the Word. And it comes as a little word seed that's not yet sown, though. Okay? Now, Luke 8 says, the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then comes the devil and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, they haven't believed yet. You see that? That faith hasn't gotten to work. It hasn't gotten in your heart. Remember, this is the one that's laying on the pavement, on the wayside. He's explaining what went on previously. And he's saying, this first seed, those by the wayside, in other words, the seed is sown on a hard road, are they that hear, and it hasn't penetrated the heart. You see that? It's just laying on the surface. And the thief comes, the devil, and takes away that seed off the top of their heart, lest they might believe later. That might sink down later. So he snatches it away if you don't receive that seed right now. Okay? So here's some word seed that's come. But we're going to see that it behaves differently depending on what it comes in contact with. So far, it's only a seed. It's like the little kernels of corn. They've got potential, but nothing has really happened yet. Even though it's still corn, still faith, it's just a seed, though, right now. All right? They on the rock are they, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. But these have no root. which for a time believe, but in time of temptation fall away. This would be the type of person that comes maybe to a Bible study or a church or somewhere like that, says, oh, I see this, this is great, it's wonderful, you know, that's what I need to do. And then they go home, and all of a sudden they get, you know, it seems like everything. They hear, maybe it's a teaching on healing, for example. They say, I never knew that before. I never knew God wanted us healed all the time. I never knew that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I never knew that. I'm so excited. I can see that in the Word. They go home, and Satan brings the sickness symptoms around, and they get sick, and they start coughing and hacking around, and maybe even get the flu, and all of a sudden they say, I guess it wasn't true. Instead of saying, wait a minute now, did they say anything about what I'm supposed to do when these symptoms come? Maybe they forget that part, and they just give up. They received it with joy for a while. And they were doing okay until temptation came, it says, and time of temptation, fall away. So that seed still hasn't borne its faith fruit. Remember, faith is a fruit. Do you remember that in the Bible? In Galatians 5:22, then there's 9 fruits of the Spirit in our spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That was one of the fruits, faith. But it's also a seed. But it also matures into a fruit fully formed and ready to be used called faith. Take an oak tree. Take an acorn. When that little acorn, could you take that little acorn and saw it up in lots of little pieces and make a house out of it? No. But if you plant that acorn, and when it's fully formed and fully developed into what it can be, which is a mighty what? Oak tree, that can be useful, can it? And God showed me it's the same way with faith. When it first comes, it's just a seed. But it needs to be received into the heart. And if it's received into the heart properly, the most natural thing in the world is for that to grow and produce a beautiful fruit called faith that is now ready to be used to believe that you receive when you pray. Okay, but let's look at the third one here. And they that which fell among thorns are they, which when they've heard, that seed goes in and it starts to grow and it's producing some green growth, but it says they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. What does this life mean? The non-spiritual life of that person can choke the spiritual growth of the person. And these people, it didn't say it doesn't grow a little bit, but it says they bring forth no what? Fruit unto perfection. That means fully formed, fully developed, ready to be used. But they that on a good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, it's interesting that there's 3 places in the Bible this parable is given. They all follow very, very closely till you get to this one verse. One account says, having heard the word, receive it. One account says, having heard the word, keep it. And one account says, having heard the word, understand it. That's the Holy Spirit's way of telling us that all 3 of these things are necessary. Everything else is the same through here, but you need to receive the word, you need to understand that which you've heard so that you could properly act on that faith later, and we haven't gotten to that yet, and you need to keep it in your heart. So these people bring forth the fruit fully formed. Now, we know that the word is a seed. It just tells us that here. We know it comes from hearing, so it comes as a faith seed that needs to be received into your heart. And the way you receive it into your heart is behaving the way this last person did. They received it into their heart. Now, let me just say what these 3 things are. The first one, where it's received on the pavement and it's not in the heart yet, and it said the enemy comes and steals it before they believe, would be like hesitant belief. I don't know about that. You know, say I'm teaching or something, or say you're at church or something else, or you're reading the Bible, and you say, oh, wait a minute, that's not what I learned when I was a kid. That's not what my parents said. That's what not our my tradition has been. That's not what our church's tradition is. That's not what our denomination teaches. But yet it's the Word. See, now that can prevent this seed from going into the heart, this hesitant belief, because it says right here, it's like the wayside. And it says it sits there on the surface, and the enemy comes and gets it before it can get in there. Because maybe you'll come, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and this person, even with their traditions, and the denominational thing that says this isn't for today, or whatever, it's getting in his heart now. He's hearing it, and he's hearing it, and he's saying, well, wait, maybe I was wrong all this time. The enemy doesn't like that. He'll take it as, if he can get it before it gets down in there, that's what he wants to do. Or the second person might be believing in the head only. They hear something nice here at Bible study or somewhere else, that God wants you healed, that if you get, you know, that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. They love it. This is what I need. I'm suffering from this one malady that I have in my body or whatever. I'm going to go home and I'm going to act on this and I'm going to, but then temptation comes and they cast it aside. They really only got it partway down. Maybe in their head it sounded good, but when push came against shove, the time of temptation, they fell away. And then we have the thorns, other priorities in life. These are other things in our lives that don't let this bring forth fruit to fruition. You know, we can only have one belief in our heart at a time on any particular subject. And so, in some cases, we may need to replace something in our heart, a long-held belief, or a long-held tradition, it's been there a long time. That's called being teachable. That's called being humble. That's called be willing to put the Word in first place, as it says in Proverbs chapter 4. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. See, sometimes it takes more than one hearing to get rid of a previously held belief that's in that heart. But when the Word is very clear on something, we should be willing to let that go if it doesn't agree with the Word, if we truly want to be able to believe that we receive when we pray. See, if you have a long-held belief in your heart, I don't mean you here personally, but I mean that it's not God's will always to heal, that needs to get replaced by the truth of God's Word that says God never turned anybody down, that Jesus healed all that came to him, that every time somebody was healed, Jesus said on many occasions, he says, it's the devil's work, not mine, the Father's work. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He healed all, and those that he healed were oppressed of the devil 100% of the time. So you see that God wants us healed, but we may need to replace a belief in our heart that's been there for a long time. And it's really up to us whether we decide to do that or not. And I have seen, and Jesus saying here the same thing. He said, sometimes it goes in, sometimes it doesn't. It's really up to the soil. Yes.
It's kind of like a bad habit, and that takes time sometimes.
Sometimes it does. But a lot of times it's a matter of our will. Saying, look, God's Word has been pretty clear on this. I've gone home, I've prayerfully read this myself. I think this is what God's Word is. Now, am I going to hang on to something that maybe my parents believed just because they believed it? Or am I going to go with what the Word really says about this thing? That's called being teachable. Okay, so this is how faith gets in our heart. First, you have to hear the Word and it's seed. The Bible says that the seed, what does it have? A little seed. It has power, but it's contained in that little seed and it hasn't been released yet. If you go back and read an account of Jesus preaching the Word, it's an amazing thing, and I don't have time for it tonight, but he went and taught. It says everywhere the people thronged him, everywhere they were crowding around him, and he finally left this one area because there was so many people, they just were crowding him out. He says, we got to go some other places too, and finally they went to those other places and they crowded him out there, and he finally came back to Capernaum, which was his home, really, when he was ministry home. He went into his house and they crowded his house. And then there was four guys coming along carrying this guy on a cot trying to get to where Jesus was. Because everywhere he went, there were people who were sick. But before this guy got there, it says Jesus preached the Word and taught the people. And it said, when he did that, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. At that point, the guy that got healed hadn't even got there yet. And all the people that were gathered around in there hearing him preach the word, where the power of the Lord was present to heal, it said they had come out of every city in Judea, Galilee, and Jerusalem, the area around Jerusalem. And I counted it. There's over 150 little cities around there. I've got a map upstairs. That means that it says there were scribes, doctors of the law, Pharisees, from every one of those cities. And you can imagine there's more from Jerusalem, because they were coming in the wind at Jerusalem, these people. I mean, they were scribes and Pharisees and doctors of the law were very prevalent in Jerusalem. So there are probably 300 or 400 just doctors of the law, scribes and Pharisees crowded around, church people. And he was taught the word, it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why was the power of the Lord present to heal? Because it came as a seed. Word comes as a seed. It's got that power in there. It's potential power. It's waiting, looking for a heart, wants to find, it's landing on hearts even. But you know what? Those Pharisees, those doctors of the law, they were wondering other things. They were wondering all about whether he should teach on this day. They were wondering about whether he had a right to forgive that man's sins or not. Only God can forgive sins, because as soon as the guy got there on the cot, he forgave his sins. They got all upset about that. See, their mind was on everything else other than what word he was teaching then. So they couldn't receive it. But don't you think of all those people gathered round about that had been crying for you, there was more than one that was sick. But only one got healed. And he wasn't even one that was there hearing the word preached. He'd heard about Jesus somewhere else, and he was rushing to get there. So see, my point is here that you hear the word, it comes as a seed. It's got power in it. It's got potential power in it. When that power, seed power from the word is received into the heart, it grows and produces a fruit called faith. It was faith seed, still faith, but it's not fully formed yet, not ready to use yet, just like a little acorn. It's got a little tree in there, but it's not ready to be sawed up and used to build a house or do something else with yet. It is not fully formed. But when you receive that word into your heart, it will grow and produce a fruit called faith. And when that is in there, then, and this is very important, and only then are you ready to pray and believe that you receive when you pray. And if you'll do it that way, you'll receive an answer, yes, 100% of the time. Because we've asked according to his will, and if we've asked according to his will, he's heard us. And if we know that he's heard us, we know that we have. We know that we have. Now, even though we haven't received it yet, we know that we have it. The petition that we desired of him. That's believing you receive when you pray. So, what do we do? We have to present ourselves to the word on the specific subject that we're going to pray about, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, or whatever. If you have a financial problem, you need to present yourself to the word on finances. It said if you're a tither, God promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you such a blessing, you won't have room to receive it. And then God goes one step further and says, prove me in this, see if I'm... That's pretty strong. That's the only place I know in the Bible that God says prove you. But there's one other thing it says too. It says that you can give all away everything that you have. And if you have not love, it will profit you nothing. So there's one more ingredient. See, that's why we need to get in the Word. Find out what God's will is. It's his will that you prosper. It's his will that you tithe. You have to sow that seed first. And it's also his will that you walk in love. If you're not walking in love, start doing it. If you know somewhere you've gotten out of love, confess it. Now you're back in love immediately. You know what I'm saying? It's not that hard to do. But those are the two things. So, walk in love, you're ready to pray. You know? But see, we need to present ourselves to the Word so that seed can get in our heart, receive it into our heart, and it can produce faith immediately. Now, this is one way it differs from a normal seed. Usually you have to throw corn in the ground and wait a while. Seed can bloom like that, as far as faith goes. In an open heart, it can just instantly bloom into faith and be ready to be used. There's no time thing there. Well, that brings an interesting question now. Does everybody with me so far, pretty much? Any questions?
Yeah.
Here's an interesting question I got for you, and this is the test to see how well I got this across tonight. Is it okay to pray for faith? Why? Marianne knows the answer to this. I came down the stairs the other day going, oh boy, I got something now. Honey, is it okay to pray for faith? And she gave me the answer, exact answer that had taken me. I never had figured this out, and she gave me the exact answer. I said, how did you know that? I said, huh.
So I'm not allowed to answer the question tonight either.
Why? If it's not okay, why isn't it okay to pray for faith?
You need faith to pray in the first place.
Right.
Faith to pray for faith. Yeah.
To believe that you receive when you pray, you have to have the faith first. Look at our diagram. Which side of the praying hands is faith on? The left or the right? If you're praying for faith, that moves it over here.
Faith comes by prayer.
Right. You can't pray for faith in faith, can you? Because you haven't got it, you wouldn't be praying for it. That's the best way I can say it. So when you say, people say, I just need to pray for more faith. That shows they don't really understand what faith is and what it means to believe that you receive when you pray.
What you said just popped into my mind a few minutes ago. When it says in the Word, you have faith that's a grain of mustard seed, many people take that to mean the tiniest, teeniest bit of faith. They don't take the power that's in the grain of mustard seed, the faith of the grain of mustard plant.
You're a natural, honey. That's great. I got that today myself. You know, I thought, wait a minute. All this time, I thought Jesus was talking about you only need a little bit of faith. That's not what he's talking about at all. What he's saying is if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he doesn't mean little tiny bit. He just means if you just have the seed, that's what you need. Get it in your heart. It will produce a great growth for what you need. It didn't say just a little faith. Just a grain is a mustard seed. But when that seed is planted, then it can, there's no limit. But see, when it's a seed, it doesn't really have anything. It's not fully formed into what it can be yet.
But how many people know what a mustard seed turns into?
Oh, mustard plant.
Right, but how many people know that's big, it's huge?
It's a huge tree. Yeah. This is the one they're talking about in here.
Well, yeah. I think also, I remember...
Yeah, you're right. Sydney.
Maybe they still do it, but when I was a teenager... They had these little clear balls and had a little mustard seed in it. And so when you see that around someone's neck, you think, a little teeny tiny mustard seed. Gosh, a little teeny tiny.
He never said if you have faith as tiny as a seed. He didn't say if you have faith tiny as a seed. If you have faith as a seed, that's the way it comes. Mm-hmm. It can produce. And then he talks about the huge tree it can produce. Now that's what you're after.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not just a little thing. It's but what it can produce. When it's received into the heart. See, now I can prove that by this parable, because 3 out of the 4 times this seed, even though it was a little seed at the time, didn't do anything, did it? Much. It was only when it was received into the fertile soil of an honest and good heart. That just means somebody who was teachable. Now that faith can grow. Now you're ready to believe that you receive when you pray. So, sometimes we're not quite ready to pray, but we can get ready. Find out what his will is. That's why faith comes. I mean, if I know what Marianne's will is, I have a lot of faith about how she's going to behave, don't I? That's the same way with God. It's no mysterious thing here. So it's really not proper to pray for faith. Similarly, people attack if it be thy will unto the end of a prayer to receive something promised in the Word, really haven't yet received the word promise in their heart. Because if they did, they'd know what God's will was. If you don't know what God's will is, you can't pray in faith. You can't. How could you? Faith means knowing what God's will is. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we have what we've asked for. As we have to ask according to His will. That's what brings the faith. Knowing you're asking according to His will. You know, if Marianne, you know, I know what she likes. If I say to her something like, you want to buy a new loom? I know what the answer is. I know what's according to her will because I know her. I've studied her. It's the same way with God. You know what His will is. That brings the faith. But when you don't know what His will is, you can't pray the prayer of faith. That's why it says this is the confidence that we have. This is the confidence that we can have when we pray. we pray according to his will. Well, I can't say it any better than that, I guess, but anyway. Faith comes when we hear God's word, which is his will. Okay, that's all I had to say. I hope I got it across, because it was clear to me, at least. So, any comments or questions?
What's the verse on this? Is the confidence? What verse is that?
1 John 5, 14 and 15.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is the... I like that, don't you? And this is the confidence that we have in him. What is that confidence, Lord? That if you ask anything according to my will, I hear you. Mm-hmm. And if you know then that I've heard you, because you've asked according to my will, then you know that you have the petition. That's how you can believe you receive when you pray.
Since we have that confidence, we can be patient because we know it's already happened.
Right.
We can be patient.
We know it's so, taken care of.
That's right.
And from now on, we thank you for the answer. And act on it. That's next week.
That's it.
Okay. That completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, so here's our homework. Question one is true or false. Faith seed to receive the things promised in God's word comes through hearing God's word. True or false?
True.
It's true, isn't it? And what scripture? We all know the scripture right now. What scripture does it say is faith cometh by hearing? Does anybody remember? In case you have to look that up or... Anybody remember? Romans 10:17. All right, next question. True or false? Now that we have God's written word, hearing God's word can also include reading God's word. True or false? And I gave you a hint of Proverbs 4:20 and 23. And if you don't want to answer it yet, I can quote that verse, and then you can decide whether it's true or false, if you want. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. That would be the hearing. Let them not depart from before thine, what? Eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. So, could it also include hearing, also include reading God's word then? Yeah, it can. I mean, it's another way of, it's not hearing with your ear necessarily, but it's getting that word into you that would qualify for the faith cometh by hearing. Obviously, we're not going to rule out deaf people from having faith, right? So, yes, it would include that. True. The New Testament usually uses the term heart and blank interchangeably. I gave you a couple of scriptures you could have looked up. Kind of gives you some hints. What would go in that blank? Heart and what's the deepest part of it? Hmm?
Spirit,
right. Our soul is what? You remember from some of our other lessons? Differs from our spirit. It's your mind, your will, and emotions. So the New Testament usually uses the term heart and spirit interchangeably. When it says heart, it means that deepest core part of you, which is your spirit. When a person refuses to allow God's blank to enter their blank is sometimes called blank. And no blank can be produced. And I gave you Mark 16:14. When a person refuses to allow God's word to enter their heart, their heart is sometimes called
hardened.
That's right. That's what 16:14 says. Jesus says he upbraided them for their hardness of heart because they believed not. So their heart is sometimes hardened and no blank can be produced.
Seed.
Faith. Good. No faith can sprout in there. And that word seed can't get in, so it can't grow. Very good. Okay, here's another true or false question. It's easy to receive the word into my heart if I understand that most scripture has been inspired by God and that God cannot lie. That's kind of tricky, isn't it? That's false. Do you know what? I went through this quickly today and I marked it true. I tricked myself. That would be false. It's not most scripture. The Bible tells us all scripture has been inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Okay. Fill in the blanks. People that pray, if it be thy will, at the end of a prayer, for something promised in God's word, are showing God One, they have humility. Or two, they are ignorant. Or three, they have faith. Which one most would fit there?
Two.
They are ignorant, right? And we don't mean in a rude sense. We just simply mean they're ignorant of what God's Word has to say on the subject. That's all.
That's right.
So we really don't have to add, if it be thy will, to a petition type prayer, because we've learned that what we do is we find out what God's will is. When we find out what God's will is, that puts faith in our heart, and then we're ready to pray. So we don't need to tack on that, if that faith is strong, if it be thy will, unless we're praying like Jesus did in the garden, where you're praying for something that isn't in the Word, and you want to fulfill God's will for your life or something. You say, Father, if it's your will, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to, if it be your will. That's okay. That's not a petition-type prayer. All right? True or false? People that pray, if it be thy will, at the end of their prayer to receive something promised in the Word, have not yet received the Word promised into their heart, and do not yet have the faith for the thing promised. True or false?
True.
That would be true, right. Sort of says a little different way what the previous question said. God said in Hosea 4:6 that my people blank for lack of blank. My people what?
Perish.
Or some versions say are destroyed for a lack of
knowledge.
You know, can you kind of see that after we've been through some of these lessons where, boy, if you don't know what's in God's Word, you're not going to be able to pray in faith. If you can't pray in faith, you're not going to receive what you want. So everything seems to start with a knowledge of what God's Word is, and that's why we're studying reasons why I study God's Word, so we'll know why we're doing this and get faith. True or false? Faith is a necessary condition to receive from God. True or false?
Absolutely
true.
True. Emphatically true.
Emphatically true. Absolutely emphatically true. Good, Steve. The love necessary to obey God's love commandment was given in the blank blank by the blank blank, which dwells within it. Was given in the what?
New birth.
New birth by the
Spirit
that dwells within us. Doesn't it make sense that we can't walk in agape love unless that love is already in us? God was smart enough to put that love in us before he asked us to walk in love. Thank God for the Holy Spirit inside us. So too, the faith necessary to receive from God is given by God through his word or written word, either one. True. That's right. The blank of blank is the thing God provided to produce the faith for the things we need. That's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Oh well, humor me. The Word of God is the thing that God has provided. You know, I didn't realize that till a year or two ago, that God gave us this Bible primarily as a faith producer so that we could receive the things that he's promised in here. Wonderful power in this written word. All of the promises of God have the answer from God of blank and blank. Yes and amen.
That's right.
Good, honey.
You know,
all the promises of God. Well, it's nice to know the promises of God have an answer of yes. If you pray his promises, you're going to get a yes answer. That's kind of the key to the whole thing. God's word is called blank because, like a blank, when sown, it unleashes the blank inside. God's word is called
seed.
Jesus says the seed is the word of God in the parable of the sower. Because like a seed, when sown, it unleashes the power inside. It's wonderful how God's made this whole thing to work together. The world has no idea, you know, how this, what we're talking about in here today and be able to use this stuff. They think we're crazy. You think I'm crazy?
I have faith instead of power.
Well, it unleashes, when sown, it unleashes, yeah, the seed has power in it, is unleashed, and then it produces the fruit of faith. But yeah, seed would work, fruit would work there too. Is that what you had, fruit? Faith. Fruit of faith. Yeah, that would work too. Either one. If God's blank is not received in the blank, no blank can sprout. If God's
word
is not received into the
heart,
no
faith
can grow.
I say fruit every time.
Fruit can sprout?
Can sprout, yeah.
Yeah, faith is the fruit. Remember Galatians 5:22? Now the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. Faith is one of the fruits. Is it proper to pray for faith, yes or no?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not.
I think that's been discussed a lot of times.
In here or just in general in the world?
No, no.
In churches and stuff?
In general.
Well, you're right.
That's a good...
It's really not proper to pray for faith. Because we need faith for the thing we're praying for when?
When we ask.
Yeah, before we pray. We need faith before we pray. So if you're caught in a wicked circle here if you're trying to pray for faith, because if you're trying to pray for faith, it means you don't have faith, and if you don't have faith, you can't pray for faith. Kind of a...
Catch-22.
Yeah, catch-22. So, you know, really praying for faith is a kind of a lost cause there, because you need faith to pray for faith, and if you don't have it, you're not going to get it.
And then God said, he didn't say, pray for it, he said,
right.
He told you how it came.
Exactly.
He told you so, why?
Exactly. If he tells you how it comes, and it doesn't include praying for it, then don't pray for it. That's another reason. Because faith comes, he's worked it all out. So faith comes by hearing his word. And it's not mysterious, because how does faith come when Steve hears Sydney's word? Because he knows Sydney, and he knows that she tells the truth.
That's right.
And so faith comes if she says, I'm going to meet you for lunch. Steve, I'll meet you for lunch at so-and-so at a certain time. He has a degree of faith that he's going to get in his car, he's going to act on that, he's going to drive to that restaurant, and he's going to sit there. And if she's 15 minutes late, he's going to be mad, too.
Yeah, he is.
So she'll be there.
But
see, that's what faith really is. And faith like that is the most natural thing in the world, and we'll talk about it more tonight, when you have faith, is to act on that faith. You go to the restaurant, you don't sit home and say, well, you know, I guess we're going to have lunch together. Praise God for that. You know, you have to get up and go, don't you? You have to do something. You can't just sit home and think about it. And we'll get to that later tonight. Obtaining blank is a necessary step we take blank to receiving the exceeding great and precious blank in God's Word into our lives. Obtaining
faith
is a necessary step we take prior to receiving the exceeding great and precious promises in God's Word into our lives. The word seed sprouts in the soft blank of a blank heart, producing a fruit called blank. The word seed sprouts in the soft soil of what? Willing?
Receptive.
Both of those are okay. Producing a fruit called
faith.
That's how faith comes. True or false? You can't love someone from your heart with agape love unless love is already in your heart. True or false? That's why the world can't love with this kind of love. That's why we got wars and all these other kinds of things. They are incapable because they don't have the lover inside. So they just really can't. Agape love is a term that only came on the scene when Jesus came on the scene. It had never been seen with the world before, really. And so you can't love one with that kind of love unless that lover, who is agape love, remember God is love, it's already in your heart. The way to get this type of love in your heart is to be, and I think Karen said it earlier, or maybe it was Eunice, is to be what?
To get saved and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Be saved. And then the Holy Spirit comes with his love into your heart. Romans 5:5. Okay.
To accept it by faith.
Accept the love by faith?
Yeah, that's what...
Oh, that's how it gets in there in the first place, isn't it? For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself, the gift of God. And that's absolutely true. Okay, well, that completes...